A Bird on the Edge of a Blade. Written by Bittercape. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, DCU. Rating, teen. Relationship, Tim Drake, Jason Todd. Also tagged for obsession. Morally ambiguous, Tim Drake. Character death. It's the Joker. Comic book violence. Unhealthy relationships. And codependency.
Billy.
What do you want from me? Why don't you run from me? What are you wondering? What do you know? Why aren't you scared of me? Why do you care for me? When we all fall asleep, where do we go?
Come here.
Say it, spit it out. What is it exactly? Your pain is the amount cleaning you out. Am I satisfactory? Today I'm thinking about the things that are deadly. The way I'm drinking you down, like I wanna drown, like I wanna end me. Step on the glass, staple your tongue. Bury a friend, try to wake up. Cannibal class, killing the sun. Bury a friend. I wanna end me.
Bring me the Joker's head on a platter, Jason says. He doesn't mean anything by it. It's the kind of thing he says when he's feeling vulnerable in a way he's not ready for. Tim makes him feel like that a lot of the time. Tim has this intensity to him. Like everything matters, like every single detail has an impact beyond what Jason considers, which they probably do. Jason, after dying and coming back, is in his more depressive moments, convinced that nothing matters at all, that what happens will happen, no matter what he tries to do about it. He still tries, more the fool him.
What do you want from me? Why don't you run from me? What are you wondering? What do you know? Why aren't you scared of me? Why do you care for me? When we all fall asleep, where do we go?
Bring me the Joker's head on a platter, Jason says. And he doesn't mean anything by it. Not really. It's the kind of thing he jokes about when he's overwhelmed, and he's overwhelmed by Tim a lot. Tim's intensity makes Jason turn flippant, makes him counterweigh the seriousness with comments about his own torture and death. Like, that will somehow lighten the mood.
What do you want from me? Why don't you run from me? What are you wondering? What do you know? Why aren't you scared of me? Why do you care for me? When we all fall asleep, where do we go?
Bring me the Joker's head on a platter, Jason says. And while he absolutely would be overjoyed to never have to sit shaking behind three locked doors when the Arkham breakout alert start pinging on his phone, he doesn't expect anyone to do anything about it. Not after Bruce. He's not going to think about that. He would also be overjoyed not to have to work himself up to the rage he needs to be out there helping when Joker is on the loose. To keep going, to push through the fear and the panic, to bury the trauma deep enough that it won't resurface until the Joker is back behind bars and he can breathe again. Once he stops hyperventilating, that is. Jason says all kinds of things, for all kinds of reasons. He doesn't expect anyone to listen. Not to this.
Listen.
Keep you in the dark. What had you expected? Me to make you my art and make you a star and get you connected. I'll meet you in the park. I'll be calm and collected. But we knew right from the start that you'd fall apart, cause I'm too expensive. Your top would be something that shouldn't be said out loud. Honestly, I thought that I would be dead by now. Calling security, keeping my head held down. Bury the hatchet or bury your friend right now.
I want you to know how serious I am about you, Tim says, which is a little odd. Jason knows Tim is serious. He's as serious as a heart attack most of the time. Jason doesn't doubt that Tim wants him, wants to be with him. Not anymore. He did doubt it in the beginning. Who wouldn't? Jason has beaten and stabbed and shot Tim, and retrospectively speaking, his actions were not good, even though they somehow made sense at the time. This, more than anything, makes Jason sure that Talia's manipulations, combined with the coffin-induced brain damage and the pit's influence, broke something in him. But he's starting to believe it might not be broken permanently.
What do you want from me? Why don't you run from me? What are you wondering? What do you know? Why aren't you scared of me? Why do you care for me? When we all fall asleep, where do we go?
I want you to know how serious I am about you, Tim says. And Jason wraps his arm around him, spreads his fingers across the small of Tim's back, pulls him in. Tim comes willingly. He always does. He steps into Jason's space like he belongs there, like he always has belonged there. He leans his forehead into Jason's left peck and sighs happily, nuzzles into the dip over his collarbone. He's a comforting weight against Jason, leaning against him and connecting them from shoulder to foot. Jason kisses the top of his head and pulls him even closer.
What do you want from me? Why don't you run from me? What are you wondering? What do you know? Why aren't you scared of me? Why do you care for me? When we all fall asleep, where do we go?
I want you to know how serious I am about you, Tim says. And Jason doesn't know what he means. But when Tim takes his hand and leads him down to his workspace, Jason follows without hesitation. The large table that more often than not is filled with random bits and pieces, body armor, computer components, old takeout boxes, is cleared up and cleaned, as pristine as if Jason had done it himself. The only thing on the table is a box, one of the airtight and sealable ones for biohazards. The ones that normally are bright yellow, but for bad purposes, of course, are black. Jason is feeling a little wary. Tim flips the latches. Jason doesn't know what he expected, but now that he looks at it, he doesn't know what else it could have been. The Joker's head is immediately recognizable, and also extremely severed. Jason holds onto the edge of the table like it's the only thing keeping him moored to reality. What? He says. It's what you wanted, Tim says, like he's brought back a pack of cigarettes from the store. What about? Jason says, not sure about what he's asking. For all anyone will be able to find out, he disappeared into thin air from his cell in Arkham, Tim says serenely. There's no footage of how that could have happened, or what happened to the rest of him. But he is gone. For good. I saved the head because you wanted it. Jason sinks to the floor. Tim stays standing, looking down at him with a faint frown. Thank you, Jason whispers. I didn't even think anyone would. Jason, Tim says, and something in his voice sends a spike of electricity down Jason's spine. It's not his boardroom voice exactly, but it has that same quality of cool certainty, of absolute steely confidence. It's more intense, more raw, fundamentally Tim in a way Jason's pretty sure very few people have witnessed. Jason, there is nothing I wouldn't do for you. And yeah, in that moment, Jason knows he's in over his head. He's so far out of his depth that he has no choice but to accept his fate and go wherever the maelstrom of Tim takes him. He's giddy in the absolute certainty that Tim Drake can and will burn down the world if that's what Jason wants. He's rocked to the core in the knowledge that somehow he's inspired this kind of loyalty, this kind of devotion. He doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve anything like it, and especially not from Tim. But here they are, and dramatic bastard that he is, he wants to scream it from the rooftops. He wants to write it in blood on every wall in Gotham. He wants to rip his own heart out and hand it over to Tim for safekeeping. Instead, he reaches out, tentative, in a way he can't ever remember being. Tim kneels on the floor beside him. Jason's hand is shaking as he touches Tim's cheek, but turns steady as Tim exhales and closes his eyes, leans into Jason's hand. "Anything you want," Tim whispers.
"I owe God to sell my soul, 'cause I can't say no, no, I can't say no. Then my limbs are frozen, my eyes won't close, and I can't say no, I can't say no."
"Mine," Tim says, with steel and ice and the edges of 1,000 blades in his eyes. The flickering light of the burning building behind him is casting shadows over his skin and painting his hair with golden highlights. Fluttering ashy flakes catch Jason's eyes as they tumble in the air, remnants of the explosion that reduced the last remaining part of the Joker into bits so small that nobody could ever bring him back. Jason watches the light and the flames and the ashes, but Tim only looks at Jason.
"What do you want from me? Why don't you run from me? What are you wondering? What do you know? Why aren't you scared of me? Why do you care for me? When we all fall asleep, where do we go?"
"Mine," Tim says, and cradles Jason's jaw in his hand, his calluses rasping against sensitive skin. He looks soft, if you don't pay attention. He looks fragile next to Jason. But he's not. He's not. In Tim's hand is the promise that anyone who hurts Jason will be ripped apart and left out for the rats, that he will not hesitate to take on anyone and anything. And Jason believes it, totally and utterly.
"What do you want from me? Why don't you run from me? What are you wondering? What do you know? Why aren't you scared of me? Why do you care for me? When we all fall asleep, where do we go?"
"Mine," Tim says. And Jason looks into his eyes and sees the utter conviction there. The unshakable belief that some things are finally as they are meant to be. Jason sighs contentedly and leans into Tim's touch. Jason belongs. The end.
"'Cause I can't say no, no, I can't say no. Then my limbs are frozen, my eyes won't close, and I can't say no, I can't say no.
Can't. careful.
Step on the glass, staple your tongue. Bury a friend, try to wake up. Cannibal class, killing the sun. Bury a friend. I wanna end me. I wanna end me. What do you want from me? Why don't you run from me? What are you wondering? What do you know? Why aren't you scared of me? Why do you care for me? When we all fall asleep, where do we go?
If you enjoyed this podfic and would like to leave feedback for either myself or for the author, you can feel free to do so. You can leave feedback for the podfic, for my work, on the podfic post itself, which is probably where you found it. And you can leave feedback for the author on the text work post, which will be linked on the podfic post. Thanks for listening. Reader's notes. This is recorded as a gift for Flower Parish. Flower Parish recorded the same fic for me for my birthday. And I listened to it, gosh, like half an hour ago. And it kind of disrupted my world in the best way. The fic choice specifically was amazing. And Flower Parish is a friend of mine, and as I was listening to it, things kept striking me as, wow, this is really good. How would I do that? How would I interpret this? And it really got me invested in a good way. I don't want that to sound like I wasn't enjoying it. I was absolutely invested and utterly enthralled. I also want to thank Flower Parish for recording me this, because I have been very, very stressed. I'm in the middle of doing my practicum, which means I'm functionally working two jobs right now. And I honestly didn't think I was going to podfic for the entire year of 2024. It's now March, and I haven't touched my microphone since late December or mid-December, until I listened to this and suddenly just needed to record it. So yeah, thank you, Flower Parish. Thank you so much for this. And thank you for being flattered by the fact that I instantly wanted to podfic it as well. Yeah. So, thanks. And I hope you like it.